This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our number here is 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Terry Burns. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Duke. How are you?
Terry is an old hand at coming in here and talking to me. So
yeah, it's been a little while since I've been here, about 6-7 months, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. But I've talked to you before, other than that and other things. So.
But he's always been interested in politics and wants to try a different facet of politics, right?
Yeah, nothing changes if nothing changes, and that's what I'm going to do now. I talked to you before the show. I've been thinking for quite a while about running for the state house, and Bob Janetsky's term limited next year.
Right.
And I'm officially going to be going for that position, and it's District 80 of in Allegan County.
Mm-hmm.
Most of Allegan County. The only one that exempts is Door, Layton Township, and Wayland. Those are taken out of the equation where they are part of Allegan County. They're going to be part of a different district for the House, State House.
Okay.
and it brings in Otsego, which is not in there today, but we'll be there next time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically it. And there's a big job ahead of us, and I'd like to continue with some of the things that Bob Janetsky started and go on from there.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably others going to be jumping into the race, but I want to start a little bit early and get my feet wet a little bit. It's been a while since anybody that had any experience has been actually in that job, or the state senator, for that matter. This gives me an opportunity to take what I know, which is 18 years of township government as township supervisor and assessor, and 6 years as a county commissioner, to Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good. And yeah, it's good to hear that. It's always nice to hear the candidates, and I usually try to listen to all of them.
Yeah, it's going to be it'll be a long trek, and this time next year, Duke, we'll be right up to the final, because the primary is really a big one here, because if you're a Republican, that's a good thing. If you're a Democrat, usually they don't have the chance, but I'm just being blunt because that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know it, I know it, and I think most of the folks know it, and that's what I have been, and I'm continuing to be one. So,
well, I know you live in Allegan County, and I live in Allegan County, and it's—I don't know—I've heard it said that we haven't had a Republican in office in the county office for 100 years or more.
Yeah, that's what I understand. I don't even remember. Of course, I don't remember. You might be—you might have remembered it, but I certainly haven't. I'm 70, so that's what I've heard. And
so,
the chances or the likelihood would be pretty slim, I would think, at this point in time.
Yeah.
I give them credit for running, that's for sure.
Right.
But I don't know how to say that nicely, I guess, but that's what it is, I can't, change the way I look and feel.
Right.
So you're right, exactly.
By the way, if you have a question for Bob,
Terry Burns.
Terry, this morning, give us a call, 395-1450.
Yeah, we're both senior citizens, everybody.
Yeah, we are. I've got a few years on you, though.
Yeah, that's for sure. Did I tell you what I did for my 70th birthday here in June? I thought I'd celebrate by going over to Allegan Airport there and jumping out of an airport, just like George Bush did.
Really?
When he was 80. Yeah, I did that.
Uh-huh.
In fact, the Holland Sentinel had a little article about it.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, and that was fun. That was one way to get attention, and I certainly enjoyed doing it. I was a little apprehensive, but that's about as far as it got.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
The free fall is totally different than you'd see if when you watch it on TV. You're really falling. I mean, you're just I don't care what anybody says. Then they pull the ripcord, and it's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
Great deal. But anyway, that's how I celebrate my 70th birthday and something I would want to do, the bucket list, if you want to call it that.
Once you start, you can't back up on that
one. Yeah. But anyway, to go back to the, what I'm here to begin with, there are some things I wanted to talk about and that I would like to change, and I think the, most of the public would agree to me, which would be the auto insurance stuff. And
yeah.
You guys, I think I called your show about a couple months ago when Arlen Meekhoff was here, Senator
mm-hmm.
Meekhoff, and you were talking about the no fault and that stuff, and I'm totally against that. Not what he's talking about, but change. I'm totally for changing that whole thing.
Yeah,
we talked about it before the show. The no fault is really complicated, and it's really unfair to all parties, for that matter. You know, if you have insurance points, you're in trouble. For example, for me, I have no Secretary of State points, but I have 6 or 7 insurance points. You're hard to get insurance, so you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
The other thing is there's no catastrophic cap. That's not right either. And also on the other part, for the premium, they use your credit score. What's that have to do with anything? You know. So I would if I had a chance, I'd throw the whole thing out and get back into normal and regular insurance, and you can still have a catastrophic portion with that with a cap on just regular insurance and
yeah.
not have no fault.
Well, right now there's no cap to it, and you keep paying more all the time.
Yeah, it's. I know there's people out there who's taking advantage of that, and that wouldn't change. It would change for anybody trying to get something else. You
yeah.
know, like I'd cap it at $500,000 or something like that. The other thing is that the MCAA, I think it's called MCCA, that are the governing body of this is not a state or a legislative body. It's run by the insurance industry. The board of directors are made up of that. I was just reading that in the paper a few months or so ago, and they have no accountability. I would investigate that and find out what's going on, find out where there's, you know, they should have accountability to raise prices, you know, and or not. And so those are some of the things that in that area alone
is
big. And it's costing us a fortune, and I think the people listening to this program would say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one area I would really look into.
Let me take time out for a word here. Bowerman Blueberries has the freshest and best blueberries and garden vegetables in Holland, and hydroponic strawberries grown on their farm. They're big and delicious all summer, and you'll find already picked blueberries, or now pick your own. There's also preserves, homemade fresh fudge, local honey, pure maple syrup, and now serving fresh fruit smoothies, soft-serve ice cream, and donuts made fresh daily. Bowerman Blueberries is on James Street between 152nd and 160th. That's 4 miles west of U.S. 31 on Holland's north side. Open Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday 10 to 5. Bowerman Blueberries at 15793 James Street. Check them out at realberries.com. All right. We're talking with Terry Burns this morning. He is a candidate for the Bob Janetsky seat. Bob is being term limited, so Terry's running for the office.
Yes, I am, and I'm glad to be back in the office here for talk to you guys. So anyway, that's the insurance issue that I've had. I hope we get some callers that would call in and agree with me or ask me some questions. One of the things I want to do is when I go to other townships and cities, I want to hear from them. I want to hear, not me. I'm not the big deal. The people are. I want to hear from them and see what they have to say and what they need when I go to Lansing. That's the important thing, and I think there's enough interest that we do need some changes, no question about it.
Right.
And some fiscal changes, and we hear this story all the time, so I've been around long enough I mean what I say, you know what I mean? I just,
right.
You get tired of hearing all this baloney and nothing happens. But I'm serious, and I think the people would be behind me to do that, and that's what I say. And you have somebody with experience. Another thing that really bugs the heck out of me, I guess, and you and I were talking about this before even, is the unfunded mandates. And bringing up that is the court system, for example. Most people don't know this, but the state pays the salaries for most of the judges, and the operational costs are left up to the county. You know,
yeah.
The hiring of all the other workers that work for the county, they in the court system, they're all paid for by the. You know, sure, they have fees and stuff to help that, but most cases it's all county responsibility. So that could be looked at. In fact,
right.
We talked about it at Michigan Association of Counties. I was on the board of directors there for a couple of years before I left, and so that that was one of their things. The other thing now is the Medicaid expansion. That's another thing that the legislature is looking into. We in mental health, I'm still on the Mount County Mental Health Board, would like to see that go, but we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think Governor Snyder had us a good idea with that. But
I know you're not in office, but if you were in office, what do you think your vote might be on that?
Well, I would probably go along with what Joe Haveman's Representative Price would vote it how they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that it's mandated by the federal government to have a something, okay? And they're going to give us, the federal government, $300 million to do that. And the governor realizes that. Amanda Price realizes it, so does Joe Haveman. And why, if you don't take that money, you have to take your own money out of the state to put something together that might not work or may work. And it'll put another 400,000 people on the Medicaid list, and we understand that at Mental Health because we do need some of that stuff. I'll give you a good example of what I'm talking about. We have a general fund in mental health, and we have the Medicaid fund. Medicaid fund by far outsees the other.
Yeah.
However, if you have somebody going from, say, a group home into the state hospital, the Medicaid doesn't go with them. So we pay out of our general fund, which is real money, while those people are there, and it's like $600 a day to keep them there, and we pay out of our general fund at the county mental health budget. Why? Why should that be any different? Well, that's another area that we can talk about. See, that should, hopefully, that hasn't been talked about, but I'd like to bring it up as a conversation piece because it's real important. Why should we pay in out of our general fund for that stuff when they're Medicaid before they got there? Some of the prisoners in jail, they don't get Medicaid. Nothing. Comes out of the county. County has to pay for all that stuff. So those are kind of the things that I would look at. Some people might not agree with me there, but there's a pretty good case made by both state reps here in Holland about why. If it doesn't go, then we'll have to do our own thing. And then again, none of that's known until we start something, I guess. And if I had I looked at Governor Snyder's idea and the one and John Kasich over in Ohio, you know how John Kasich would be. He'd never do something like that. Unless it was an advantage for him, and for the people. So that's what I have to look at that, and also mental health and what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll bring our general fund budget down, but increase the Medicaid.
Yeah,
and Medicaid is a funny duck because most of that is just services. It's not it's money, but it isn't real money. It's hard to explain that.
Yeah, it is.
So if you say, I'm going to get cash, it's not going to happen. You're talking about services, basically.
Right.
And that's what it's for. If you had cash involved, that'd be two different things. You say, this is $500 and this. So, that's how that all works. And it's very difficult to explain that, and I'm probably not giving you a good idea of it. But I understand some of it, not all of it. But it's got that again, should be tweaked, too. So we're kind of going around here with different things, but that Medicaid expansion is, I think that the two representatives did the right thing for the area, and I think for the state. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Okay. Time out for a word. If you have a question for Terry, give a
prize call the action. The 2013 Detroit Tigers are on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown sports station.
This Wednesday night, come out to First Presbyterian Church for line dancing with Denny and Barb Baldwin. It's at 7 p.m. Please wear your smooth-soled shoes, I should say, or boots. First Presbyterian Church is located at 28th Street and State Street in Holland. That's at 7 o'clock. Yeah. Okay, 395-1450 here, our number, if you'd like to give us a call this morning. Talking to Terry Burns. He is a candidate for Bob Janetsky's seat. And have you filed already, or do you have to file?
I'm in the process of doing that today.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to. I've got the paperwork done. I just need a couple of signatures.
Okay.
You got to raise quite a bit of money for this, and I'm in the process of doing that, and I probably will the rest of the time. And getting around. I'm a little early on it, maybe, than most people, but there are some people already involved. There's a woman from Casco Township. I don't know her name. And also from, I think, that's Siegel, another lady.
Oh, yeah.
That's over there.
Well, they're already talking about the 2016 presidential candidate, so I guess you're not especially early.
I guess, yeah. Well, I've seen other candidates on Facebook, if you want to see that, you know, as far as that, not for this office, but other areas.
Yeah.
And it takes time to get something, you know, this stature, that together, you know.
Well, you have the advantage of having been in county government, so that should be a help.
I hope so. I mean, I would think, personally, I think so, because like I said before, I don't think I've never... It's been a while. I think Patty Burkle's the last one that had any experience that I know of involved. And, of course, Amanda Bryce has, too.
Yeah.
She had. She was a township supervisor for a while.
Right.
And she worked for Patty for a while, too.
She did.
So, you know, other than that, there's not too many that just jump right into it and don't know anything before they get there.
Amanda kind of knew her way around Lansing a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she does. Yeah, no question about it. But, you know, I mean, I'd say the local government is where you learn things. You get, you know, that Juke, you were involved
in yes.
for a while, and you see all these people come through your show, and you know who they are.
And I got a call coming in.
Sure.
Good morning, you're on. Good morning, you're on the line with Terry.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
On Medicare, I understand originally that the feds are giving a lot of money into the, for Medicare up front, but after a couple years, that the state's on the hook for 100% of it. And just last week, I read somewhere that the feds going to pick up 10%. Seems like they keep moving the goalposts.
Are you talking about Medicaid or Medicare?
Medicaid.
Okay, that's you were saying Medicare.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's my understanding was just is that they're going to come up with 100% for the first couple of years, and then after that they'll tweak it down.
How far?
But I'd rather take the money now than have to tweak it down later, you know, and right off the bat. If we do it ourselves, that's going to cost us money right away.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess, and that's what I'm trying to stay away from. And I think that's what our legislatures here have voted because of that reason.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Senate and the governor too.
No, I notice how they want to expand it so much, and
there's a lot of people who can't get any insurance, and that's why we're talking not money but services.
but it looks like the state's going to be on the hook for almost all the costs later on.
Thank you. That's I guess that would be no. If you let them do it now, then we'd serve by us a couple of years if that's the case. But I think that's going to be you don't know. If you do it now, it's mandated to do anyway, unless they overturn it somehow.
Yeah.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you for the question.
Bye.
And it's time out. Oh, we got another call coming in. Yes, we do. Good morning. You're on the line with Terry.
Yeah, good morning. That Medicaid he's talking about, the governor wanting that money, and the Senate is bucking him a little bit. How many years is that going to be good for, and what's going to happen after that's not available? That's what's wrong with the whole country. The whole system is set up, get what you can today, and the future, don't worry about it. I'd like to know where the money's going to come from after this is used up. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably a good question. I don't know, but I do know this, that it's mandated by the federal government at this time. And whether we use the federal government's money up front, the $300 million, or not, we're going to have to use something. And that's a good question. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. They'll tell you the other that there's all the money in the world over there, but there's not. You know. So personally, I would think we'd take the money at least up front and get something started with their money. And, of course, somebody's going to say, well, that's not their money. It's our money, which is true. So it's a real complicated and ugly thing that we're talking about, but it has to be it's mandated. So what are you going to do?
Yeah,
I would take the money and figure out what, you know, from that standpoint. I know that the governor's a CPA, and he should know a lot more than I would as far as money is concerned and that kind of stuff. So I kind of look at him as a pretty good expert on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So I think that our legislatures here went that way, and I think that was a good idea.
Okay, time out for a word here. And Earl's Meats time is 9:53. Ribeyes, New York strips, and sizzlers cut the way you like them at Earl's Meats. And the weather forecast brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Come in for lunch and pick a pair. And the outlook for today, partly sunny with isolated thunderstorms, a high of 89. And for tonight, cloudy with overcast or overnight thunderstorms, and a low of 73. And tomorrow it's partly sunny with a chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 78. So there you have it. We're looking at the fair, and, well, it iffy a little bit, but I think we'll get through it all right.
Well, you know, getting questions on Medicaid expansion, it's not a popular thing to debate, but it's a reality, and we don't look at it from a citizen standpoint and a county commissioner before, but we don't have anything to do with it. But I need to hear from the people what they're looking at, how they feel, and that's basically what the two gentlemen called about. And I look at it from one side and both sides. And if there's more that don't want it, then that's what I would do. You know, if there's some that makes sense that would be, then we'll have to go that way. But we have to hear from the people and what they think.
Yeah.
And that's why I said before, when I go around to the different townships and cities, I want to hear what they need. I want to hear what they have to say. It's not me telling them what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what I'd like to do, but I'm not going to tell you this is the way it's going to be. I can't do that. I need to hear. I'm one of those kind of guys that when I do my counseling, I said, you're going to fix yourself, not me. And they can do that. You know, it's just one of those things that I do, and if I know that. If I ask somebody how you going to get sober, I'm not going to make you sober. You are. Mm-hmm. You're going to help yourself, and I'll help you get there, but you're going to have to do the work. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I look at things, and I think that any question I get, I think the person that has the guts to call here and ask good questions, go to it, because I'm willing to stand here and take the heat, and that's okay. You know,
it's right.
That's what we run for, that's what we do our jobs for, and that's what I want to see from people.
Now, you're just beginning today to set out on this. Will you be making many appearances around the county?
Well, I hope so. I can't stay home, and my good looks and my age are not going to win. No, and jumping out of airplanes certainly not going to make it either.
No, it's a good start, but...
Yeah. No, but I've always enjoyed being here on this show. It's kind of like home and home, and the people have always been nice calling in. You know, I might not agree with them, and they might not agree with me, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's what life's all about. If we had directly no logic or everything logically, nothing would be done.
Right.
You know, so it'd be fun. If I lose, I lose. That's, you know, but that's, I'm not looking for that, but we'll see.
Would the insurance thing be one of the first things you'd like to look at?
Oh, yeah, right out of the chute. Yeah, I think I haven't had any calls on that, but that's something that we all can identify.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wrong, I think. the way that thing is set up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't. I talked to the gal that cuts my hair. She's got two, you know, cars that just need liability.
Right.
She's paying almost $300 a month.
Yeah.
Her son's younger, and that may be the problem, but
yeah.
That's still not fair. She's not married. She's got single mom, and she's paying $300 and some a month for insurance. That's crazy because it's no fault.
It really hurts.
And, yeah, it hurts everybody. You know, I'm sure there's many listeners out there today that would call in and say, hey, this has got to be done.
Probably enough to buy the gas for the month.
That's another problem. I used to work with Texaco right over here on Ottawa Street.
Oh, yes.
You remember that? And I started there when I was 22 as a sales rep for them. And those were the days when, you know, you could get 18, 20 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
You know, not worry about it. It was always the other way around. Now they raise the prices 20-30 cents, you know.
That's just in 1 week.
So that stuff is somewhere along the line. Somebody's lying to us.
Let's take this call. Good morning. You're on the line with Terry.
Yeah, Terry, I agree with you on that insurance because I've got a car and a truck, and I mean I'm lucky if I put 1,500 miles on my truck in a year, but yet I'm paying that high price.
Yeah, that's not right.
And, you know, if the truck sits here and sits here and sits here, and you're still paying insurance on it, you know, that's hard to come by. You get to my age, you wonder whether or not you should be able to keep it.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, I have my kids, and they use the truck, and I have to keep insurance on it. But that no fault, that is something that's got to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's my intention.
Okay.
Right. Also, there's points deal, and there's... credit scores. They got nothing to do with it.
That's exactly.
I mean, they're using that credit score for a lot of things nowadays, and I disagree with that.
Yeah, it's an excuse to raise premiums and prices.
Okay.
It is.
We're about out of time here, sir. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Terry, for being our guest this morning. And
well, thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
And you'll be on with Red, I think, tomorrow morning for a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be on his show early in the morning, and I'll be back.